stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Shiraz Mian, Zach's director of research, to discuss a very interesting topic, because Shiraz just recently returned from a business trip to India. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about what's going on over there in the retail side of things, because there's a lot happening in e-commerce, but there's also a lot in like the restaurant chains and things like that. And we're getting it straight from the horse's mouth, basically, Shiraz. So welcome.
Thanks
for coming.
Sure.
And I'd like to start off with the e-commerce side of things, because The Economist magazine just had a really great article about India's e-commerce market and what's going on there that I think most people in the United States aren't really aware of, even though they might know, they might have read something about Amazon going into India, because they made a big announcement in 2013 that they were going in there, and they have spent $2 billion so far to get into that market. But I've discovered just by reading this Economist article and from talking with you that the Amazon and Alibaba, their e-commerce marketplace, is different than what we think of as Amazon in the United States.
That's right.
It's mainly is a marketplace where Indian businesses and even mom and pops, it's more like an eBay system where they are listing their product on there. Amazon doesn't hold any inventory because that's forbidden under the Indian regulations for foreign companies. And it's more like an Alibaba or an eBay where then you are going to that site and then Amazon is delivering it and helping with payments and
that.
Isn't that right?
Absolutely. The Indian retail space is heavily protected politically. So they differentiate between two types of retailers, single brand and multi-brand. And a retailer like Amazon would fall in the multi-brand retailer. So the U.S. model and the learning curve and background that Amazon has in becoming this huge entity in the U.S. is not really of much benefit to it as it entered the Indian market. And that was probably one of the reasons why it was a laggard, which gave an opening to the homegrown ones. And even those guys are financed by firms from outside. So you're right. The model is different. It is kind of a marketplace. They're not strictly allowed to have the distribution centers that we are used to here. But they have found a way to kind of dance around the regulations. So they have started building distribution centers anyway, where they don't technically own the inventory.
Okay.
The merchants own them. But Amazon kind of handles the logistics and the record keeping and stuff like that.
More like a UPS or a FedEx kind of thing.
Exactly. So it is basically a merchant. It is a marketplace. It's kind of a broker between the buyer and the seller, and that's the huge fight in the Indian online retail space. And you mentioned that Economist article. It's really clear. From reading that article and my own discussions and conversations with folks over there, Amazon isn't the go-to
online
retailer.
Thing. No, it's the smallest one.
It's the smallest.
There's three major ones that are over there.
That's right.
And that Flipkart is the biggest.
That's right.
And that's actually spelled with a K, just in case anyone is looking that up. Flipkart has 45% of the market share, and then there's Snapdeal, and they have 26%. And then I've seen Amazon India in the third position, anywhere from 12% to 15%.
That's right.
And then you have Alibaba, which actually doesn't have a site over there other than its own.
That's right.
But it owns a part of Snapdeal. It's backed them at least. And then there's rumors that it might be buying a stake in Flipkart too.
Okay.
And then it's us supporting Indian businesses to export their goods to the Chinese market on Alibaba sites.
So the Flipkart guys built their model solely on Amazon. When you go to Flipkart, the site, and you're trying to order something, or the whole experience, the whole interface, the whole process is just like how we see it in the U.S. And apparently the founders were ex-Amazon folks. And they want to be the and have essentially proved themselves to be the Amazon of India, but Jeff Bezos has other ideas.
That's
Jeff Bezos
right.
says if anyone will be the Amazon of India, it better be Amazon itself.
Right.
So it's playing a little catch up. So they're pumping those $2 billion into the Indian market. And are trying to gain share. And it's such a huge expanding market for these players that perhaps you could have multiple big players operating at the same time.
Yeah, I saw some of those stats too. Right now, I guess the e-commerce sales, well, for last year, 2015, were about 14 to 15 billion.
That's right.
And they're expected to jump up to 55 billion by 2018. So
That's
just
right.
a couple of years from now, you know, triple the size. And out of all the retail in India, e-commerce is less than 1% right now.
That's right.
But growing quickly. So that's why Jeff Bezos has said he considers this a $1 trillion market,
yeah.
possibly for them.
For India, retail is a very fragmented, local kind of experience. They don't really have the shopping malls and these big shopping establishments that we are used to here in the States. It's usually local. It's the corner store, and a lot of the buying takes place at that level. So the size of e-commerce is small, but it's perhaps comparable to the formal organized retail in the Western sense. So more likely, the e-commerce slice of the retail business will overtake the formal shopping mall based kind of retailing that we have here in the States.
Now, is one of the big barriers, I guess, to the e-commerce actually growing, it has to be in the payment system, right? Because I was reading that most of this is, it's all cash transactions.
That's right.
And that's why a lot of them are coming up with these mobile payment systems as a way of trying to facilitate, you know, payment on these deliveries and everything. It seems kind of complicated to me.
It's very complicated. And that's why Amazon doesn't really have the edge in the Indian market as we would expect.
They were using gift cards, apparently. Like you could load a gift card and use that as a payment system, but that wasn't working very well for them.
Yes, that's right. So when you're getting to the final stages of placing the order, you could have a credit card. You could have the company's own digital payment system, or you could pay cash.
Right.
And you order a shirt, and the delivery person is at the door. You go inside. You try on the shirt.
Yeah,
and,
I bet.
if it fits, you keep the shirt and you pay the delivery person. Otherwise, you return the shirt. That's the expectation of the Indian consumer is, and that's what the so Amazon has to kind of comply with that. So the payment is the key hurdle in all of this. On top of the infrastructure issues that we all hear about.
Yeah.
Are prevalent in India. Alibaba had faced a similar issue in China
right.
and come up with kind of a middleman entity that kind of keeps the payments in escrow on behalf of the customer releases the funds once the transaction takes place.
Yeah, they actually own, they're taking that technology and they've invested in one of the Indian mobile payment plans, the biggest one, I guess. They have about 140 million users so far.
That's
and
right.
I guess they're called Paytm,
P-A-Y-T-M. That's right.
And they own, I've seen anywhere from 20 to 40% of that payment system. But I did see just recently, with like days ago, Flipkart launched Flipkart Money as their response
right.
to how to get this payment system. And now there's a lot of rumors that Amazon will basically be launching its own
payment system
by the second quarter, so within basically a month or two.
That's right.
But they might have to be buying out other technology. But they have hired, apparently, someone from Citibank who ran a lot of the banking systems, they've already hired him to run it over there. So it does clearly look like they're going into that direction too.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's the big thing.
That's the big thing. When you are driving around in the major Indian cities, you will see these delivery guys on the little scooters with stuff in their backpacks,
yeah,
or just on the carriers on the bikes, and it's a very ever present scene all over the roads.
Right,
the roads are
chaotic.
This is chaotic.
Amazing. They're amazing system of
the roads
delivery.
Are chaotic as it is in India when you're dodging the animals and
yeah,
multiple cars, and you have these scooter guys delivering the merchandise that you ordered. But it's a fascinating part of the retail space right now, and many people think that the Indian online market will be bigger than the U.S.'s in the not too distant future. Huge hurdles, though. There are huge hurdles. The infrastructure, even if they remove some of the regulatory constraints, which will really let these players prosper, the political lobbying of the mom and pop stores is so strong.
Right.
It's hard to imagine the Indian government letting the retail space completely free for foreign-owned retailers entirely.
Right.
But
isn't one of the benefits of this kind of marketplace is that the mom and pop, you know, say you're in Mumbai and you're mom and pop and you make pillows or something.
That's right.
You used to just be able to sell kind of in your neighborhood, and maybe you delivered in your neighborhood, but now on like Flipkart, you can actually sell to someone in another city. Of course, they have to figure out the logistics of delivering that
That's
item.
Right.
But it opens up a bigger, much bigger marketplace.
Absolutely. So the Amazon initially was waiting for the Indian government to clean up its act and to free up the retail market. But when it realized that Flipkart and Snapdeal and others were effectively establishing themselves in that market, then it started catching up, and the $2 billion announcement and the very aggressive move into that. So it is at present developing along the marketplace line, which co-opts the mom and pops and the established
right
players with the online digital technology.
Yeah, I read somewhere that both Alibaba and I guess this Flipkart Money are actually giving out like small loans.
That's
and
right.
Through Snapdeal, you can get up to like a $37,000 loan for these small businesses, because the key is to lure in the business to your platform.
That's right.
And that's where they're going to make the
money.
That's
the key competitive advantage for all three sides when they brag about their market standing and positioning. They say how many merchants are available on their side. And all three have established the ability to lend to those merchants. So yes, they have at the back end with the Reserve Bank of India, they have created systems where they could approve loans up to certain amounts.
Right.
Small loans. Yeah, pretty easily.
Now, with these three as being the main players over the last, say, 2 to 3 years, it sounds like there's no entry. No one else will be able to get in there and actually, you know, create the brand awareness and the money and all of that required to keep this kind of business going, because none of them are profitable in India so far.
That's right. Yeah, they're not.
So it sounds like once you get your foot in the door, you got your foot in the door. Nobody
right
else. It's shutting the door on everybody else.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's a big market, but it's not that big that you could have more than three players.
Okay.
Perhaps even off these three, perhaps there are way too many.
It.
That's
yeah
right. So
yeah,
it's you need to have perhaps one player capture enough of the market, which makes it profitable for them to create the scale economies and to create the distribution system and the logistics to then produce the efficiencies that we see here in the States. So
right,
it's a raisin thin margin business to begin with, And when you have three players literally firing at each other, that makes it even brutal. And that's what's happening in the Indian market. None of these guys are profitable.
Right. I did want to mention, because you were kind of bringing up the logistics of it, because, you know, there are huge logistical issues there, because even, you know, in the major cities, the streets aren't marked. Sometimes the houses aren't marked. People know, like, go to the one with the yellow door.
That's
and
right.
Things like that create a whole big issue. But there was also, they've always figured out ways to get around it. If anyone is really interested in knowing, like, how the delivery system works in India, I really recommend this good movie from 2014. It's called The Lunchbox. I think you can get it on Netflix now. And it's about a housewife who prepares her lunches. And this happens all over Mumbai and various other Indian cities,
right,
too. They make the lunch, and it's in this like kind of metal tin. And then that keeps it warm or cold or whatever
That's
it
right.
needs to be. And then these delivery guys called Dabawalas,
Dabawalas.
Dabawalas come and pick it up. And in Mumbai alone, I guess there's 5,000 of them. And they pick it up at the designated time. And then they take trains and bike rides. And they go to these office complexes and they deliver the lunch every day. And they're almost never, you know, miss. They
That's
never
right.
Are late. And this has been going on for like decades.
Oh, yeah.
And they, I don't know, somehow managed to figure it out. But it's fascinating to see it in the movie, because they show the delivery guy going, you know, and his whole route and everything, and how complex it is to get around these cities with these lunches and then have them just be delivered to the guy sitting in his cubicle every day. It's really interesting. And in the movie, they do show that he actually starts delivering the wrong one to this one office worker, because you got to have some kind of conflict for the movie. But it's very interesting to see how the whole system works.
Yeah, the Dabawala phenomenon is an amazing. Is an amazing logistics success.
Yes.
Prior to all the back end logistics software and technology
yeah.
that UPS and FedEx and all the others use, and these guys have been doing it since the 80s and 70s. In
yes.
fact, and it's literally hundreds of thousands of lunch deliveries being taken from regular homes and delivered to office workers across
yeah.
major Indian cities. And what I've read is that the error rates that those very manual process, they probably use technology now, but back in the day when they started it, everybody had a passbook where they would just make entries where
yeah.
they picked it from or where they delivered. And the error rates were comparable to what FedEx and UPS
yeah.
would have.
Yeah, so
it's pretty amazing stuff. So yes, in India, and that's one of the things that for a company like Amazon and the other local Indian e-tailers is important too. If they can crack the Indian market
right.
and resolve the issues that are in the Indian market, then it opens up so many opportunities for them in the other emerging markets, because India is kind of the poster child for chaotic, disorganized, without rules, without infrastructure, dysfunctional political system. Models anywhere in the world. It's the biggest and largest, and its problems and dysfunctions are the biggest and largest as well. I was mentioning to you yesterday that the U.S. folks talk about how Washington is dysfunctional and how the system doesn't work. If they knew how dysfunctional the Indian system was, they would think Washington was like Beijing.
Right.
So people compare India with China, but China is a very unique country. It's
yeah.
very top-down, very efficient in getting stuff done. In India, everything takes years and years. And the government that's in power now has very good ideas and very good plans in place, which will resolve many of the issues that we talked about, particularly the regulatory constraints for these retailers, for example.
Yeah.
But it has only partial power. It's in power in the lower house of parliament. It does not control the upper house. A position in India really means a position. Even if the government in power is advocating something that the opposition, when they were in power, had advocated, it is their birthright now to oppose it. So the Indian government needs to gain power in the upper house of parliament too. And that's very complicated because those are indirectly elected by states, and states have this this staggered election process. And every year there are 2-3 major states having elections. And so if they are able to gain power in the upper house as well, then one could hope that the current government will remove a lot of the current regulatory constraints for the retail sector.
What about switching over to the restaurants? Because I have to talk about those, of course.
Area.
Yeah. There are some American companies that have been successful with their brands over in India, even despite all these regulatory issues and other things going on. And one of them is McDonald's.
That's right.
Been in there for a while.
McDonald's is doing very good. They have a totally Indian menu.
What does that mean? You have to explain that.
Well,
all the beef is gone, obviously.
That's right. There's no Big Macs. They have these sandwiches when it's meat. It's usually chicken, and there's a lot of vegetarian options. It is healthy. I told my wife that we went to one McDonald's and had a vegetarian burger. And the person serving us, and these are like nice sit down restaurants.
Yeah,
somebody comes and serves the food to you. They said we have all vegetarian McDonald's too, and I would think that those all vegetarian McDonald's would do good over here in the U.S. too.
Yeah, there would be demand for that.
And they have Indian spices, and they're Indian flavored, and I think that could spice up the McDonald's brand in the States too.
Definitely. Yeah. What about Domino's?
Have you ever gone to one of those? I haven't gone to one, but all over. I've seen their menu. It has all kinds of Indian stuff. Like there was even a spicy banana topping of some sort.
That sounds good. Do they have the quick delivery too? Do they have the guys driving around on the motorcycles?
They have quick delivery.
Okay.
They deliver. In fact, delivery is a big deal. If I'm not mistaken, I think McDonald's delivers as well in India.
Interesting.
So Domino's is very good. Pizza Hut hasn't really caught on as much. I don't think KFC has been that successful either, though there's plenty of KFCs in there too.
Okay. But you didn't see when you were there, what city were you in?
Kolkata.
Okay. So obviously
one of the biggest ones. That's right.
And you didn't really see any Starbucks or anything around though.
There aren't that many Starbucks. In fact, last year or the year before, Starbucks made a big deal about this flagship store. I'm not sure if it was in Mumbai or Delhi, but they don't really have the coffee culture that we have in the West. And Starbucks will have to change itself to move away from being just a coffee outlet and do everything else. Dunkin' Donut does that. Dunkin' Donut opened, and they thought that people will, on their way to work, grab a donut and a coffee.
Right.
And they were just, the stores were sitting empty
that
and nobody
work.
Was coming in there. Then they realized down the road that the Indians take breakfast very seriously. It's a family affair. They have breakfast and then they go to work. So they started having burgers and sandwiches. So Dunkin' Donuts, I believe, is called Dunkin's Donuts and Others or something like else.
Okay. So they kept the name, but they kind of added to it to tell you that other
basically,
stuff is there.
It's basically a burger chain, and people will order a donut, but it's kind of like a dessert after the burger they have. It's not really a donut shop. In fact, there was an interview of the franchise company's owner. He said that the Indians thought Dunkin' Donut was a pastry shop.
Yeah. And, kind of is. Really?
Kind of is, but the coffee is not a big deal in India.
Right.
And donuts are sweet, so India has a ton of its own sweets.
Right. So what do they need that for?
Exactly. Yeah. So they added burgers to it, and now the chain is thriving in India.
Interesting. Well, it just goes to tell you, you got to innovate.
That's right.
And that's kind of what we're seeing with Amazon and Alibaba and these other companies in there on the e-commerce side.
That's right.
It'll be interesting to watch and see who comes out ahead or if several of them come out ahead. It sounds like there's room for
that's right.
many competitors there.
Even on the single brand outlets in the regular brick and mortar space, there's a lot more freedom to them to open and expand in India. And a lot of the Western companies have benefited from that, like Nike and I believe Apple as well. But the regulatory constraint even there is that they have to have 30% of local sourcing for the merchandise. That'll be in the inventory. And a lot of the big retailers like IKEA wanted to open.
Yeah.
But IKEA can't produce 30% of its inventory in India.
Yeah.
So it's struggling. It wants to expand in India, but it hasn't really done that. A lot of the single brand retail in the traditional brick and mortar space has primarily been in apparel and shoes and in those kind of categories.
Okay. It's something to keep watch.
That's right.
And the next time you go back over there, we'll have you on again to talk some more. Cause I think it's really, you know, good to have people who have been on the ground and eating at these places and
sure.
seeing what's going on.
That's right, yeah.
I'll have to make a trip over there sometime. But if you want to know more about what Shras thinks about India and everything else going on in the world and in the U.S., you can, of course, check out his weekly earnings articles on Zacks.com. And you can listen to our other podcasts. I had Shiraz on about the oil market in December. I'm going to have him on again.
We have to do that again.
We
That's
are
right.
as it gets closer to summer because he made
That's
some
right.
predictions in December. So we're going to re-look at that again as it gets closer to when he thought things would be changing in the oil market. But you can check out those podcasts on SoundCloud and also on iTunes and, of course, on Zacks.com. So until next week, I'll see you then.